Hallelujah. Let's do it unto the Lord, shall we? Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, 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 Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. And praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you, Brother Tenney and Louisiana District, for the honor to have been invited. I told Brother Tenney last time I'm not a camp meeting speaker. So I'm kind of out of my class right now, but I'll do the very best I can to try and tell you what I feel like the Lord would have the Pentecostal movement receive. I think we are in such a crisis, crossroads time that we need not be afraid for a fresh word from the Lord. And I know that I'm in Pentecostal turf here, but please hear me. It is time for us to move on. It is time for us to go further. It is time for us to embrace truths that God has held for us without prostituting the foundational truths that brought us to where we are. You don't ever be afraid of a fresh word from the Lord. It will never contradict nor prostitute truths that have blessed you. Hallelujah. I'm probably not going to preach to most of you brethren tonight. I probably won't even turn around. I have asked the Lord to give me a word that could help the people that live in the trenches and the ditches and pay all the bills. And so if you don't mind, I'd like to direct my attention to you. I have a message that I bring to you from the book of Psalms. If you'd like to turn there, Psalms chapter 8. I wish I had as much confidence in myself as some of you people have. But I know the Lord will help us for just a few minutes. I have preached a lot of camp meetings and conferences, and I don't think ever once have I ever gone to a camp or a conference where I was nervous or apprehensive. But I am tonight. I feel like God is going to try and catapult this meeting into a place that we are not familiar with, and in so doing, I'm probably going to have to hit the ball and drag Charlie. I'm going to have to drag you, but I'll be okay in a minute. Psalms chapter 8, you have it, say we got it. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Thou hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, hast crowned him with glory and honor, thou hast made him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, thou hast put all things under his feet. All the sheep and oxen, yea, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passes through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The writer of the book of Proverbs said, where there is no vision, the people perish. So many hundreds of thousands of sermons preached, some right, some incorrectly, from that statement, where there is no vision, the people perish. I would like to help us tonight. I would like to challenge your vision. I want to preach on your vision determines your victory. Your vision determines your victory. Lord, bless the preaching of the word. Help me to do a great job. Help everybody get real easy, Lord, not to be apprehensive like I'm going out in some wacko land somewhere. Do bless and anoint. I can't preach real good if you don't help me. Lord, I ask you for an anointing beyond anything I've ever known that I could help these sweet people. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And everybody said amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of thanksgiving one more time. Oh, hallelujah. You may be seated. Praise God. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I'm going to challenge you because your society has told you that you're not worth much. The generation you live in does not place much value on morals or humanity or purity or virtue. But I want you to know that man is a very, very important thing to God. You're not hearing me. Now, I left a good church. It wasn't as big as this one, but it's a good church. And when I talk, they talk. See, you don't get points for watching. You don't get any points for sitting and doing a Mount Rushmore impersonation. See, I speak, then you speak. Yeah, yeah. See, this isn't a college lecture. I'm not here to impress you with knowledge. I'm here to declare truth, and then you respond by saying amen or hallelujah, praise God, or something. You're not hearing me yet. You're made in the image of God. Now, if I understand the image of God, God is a speaking God. That means if God speaks, his creation ought to speak. It means that God is so powerful, yet he has never been able to create anything by thought. He must open his mouth to make something happen. And if you want something to happen in your life tonight, you've got to open your mouth. You've got to speak words of faith. You cannot just believe, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Now, I'm not trying to create emotion and a bunch of noise. I just want us to understand how to play the game. God is so powerful. Yet he could not do anything. It's recorded. Nor will he do anything. With locked lips. You can't think a praise. You've got to praise a praise. You can't think a prayer. You've got to pray a prayer. You can't think faith. You've got to manifest faith. For with the heart man believes, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You've got to open your mouth and declare that you believe it. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Woo. Well, I might as well start off running. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. That's enough. If you don't believe that, let's sell shoes and start an Amway meeting. Because that's where all faith comes out of. In the beginning, God. If you can believe that, anything's possible. In the beginning, God. Never mind in the beginning, evolution. No, in the beginning, God. God just shows up. He doesn't defend himself. He just shows up and says, before it started, I was here. That's why he calls him Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is present. Ah! Well, you're so close to a miracle right now because you're already in the presence of God. And where the presence of God is, anything is possible except failure. Before you see to turn to someone next to you and say, you're really in God right now. You're in God right now. Now, I'm not going to violate some Pentecostal theology, but that's just tough break. You are in God. Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. It didn't say the Pentecostals. He talked about the whole human race. In him we live and move and have our being. That's how close you are to the supernatural. That's how close you are to the miracle you need. You're in God. He's sitting on your pew right now. You're in God's lap right now. He doesn't have to come here. He was here before you got here. You can sit down for a second. Just bear with me just a minute in my folly. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Didn't need nobody's help. Didn't check with nobody. He just walks out. You know, every time God shows up, he just throws his weight around and starts commanding a blessing. You didn't hear me. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Here it is. And the Spirit of God moved. You ready for this? You don't need nothing going for you for God to step in and make something happen. I said, you don't need nothing. God can step into darkness and command light. He can step into death and command a resurrection. God, when he shows up, he starts throwing his weight around. I feel God in the house. I feel God in this house. Woo! You can be seated. Try not to belabor the point, but you need to understand something. Just to give some little praise and appreciation to all our worship singers and all our quartets and all our choirs. I'm sorry we didn't do better. We'll do better tomorrow. We thought this was a movie theater. We just watching. Yeah, let's everybody act like we don't know what I just said. Sit back here and do the spectator for Jesus stuff. Come on and move me, preacher. Come on and move me. Hey, who in the name of God are you for God to have to move you? I thought we got here to move God. I didn't know God was supposed to move us. I thought we're supposed to move God with our praise and our blessing and our adoration so that we can step into a high place of worship, because in worship is where the miraculous takes place. You're never going to be a worshiper if you're not first a praiser. Worship follows praise. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. You can't get to worship if you're not thankful. You can't be thankful with locked lips, sitting on hands, folded legs, acting real cute. It's time for us to stop being cute and stop even being Pentecostal. And let's get to be Christians. Let's get to be desperate men and women. We're hungry for the supernatural, for the move of God. You can be seated just a second. I won't be long. I know I'm known for being real long-winded, but I will not be long-winded. I'm moving right now. But you got to get this. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved. Watch this. Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Here it is. And verse 4. And God said. I'm not going any further till you get this. You're not going to have a fresh word from God until you first have a move of God. And you can't have a move of God with a dead worship service, with a dead song service. If you pastors are trying to have a move of God and you got a song leader that's dead, shoot that guy, have a Christian funeral, and get somebody up there to help you. You can't cook a cake in a cold stove. You can't fry something on a cold stove. You need a hot oven. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will say of the Lord, he is my rock and my fortress, my high tower. In him will I bless. I said the word always follows a move. I said the word, honey, if you can get a move of God, God will show up and give you a word. You want to know why a lot of churches don't have gifts of the Spirit? While they don't have a fresh anointed rhema word, their worship and praise stinks. They make their choirs and their praise singers a bunch of entertainers. We've got to have a mind change. We've got to have a mindset corrected. We're not here to be entertained. We're here to entertain the Master. Because if he gets happy, watch out. He can heal anything. He can fix anything. He'll show you stuff that'll blow your socks off. You be seated. I'm gonna mess with your theology. Yeah, I'm gonna mess with it. Now, I know what I just said, but let me explain what I just said. Because we're really hung up on a, quote, a move of God. Anybody ever say that? Boy, we've had a move of God. Raise your hand. But we need a move of God. I know the scripture just says, and the Spirit of God moved. But you got to understand what that Hebrew word means. It doesn't mean mobile. It's impossible for God to move. He fills everything. You didn't hear, you folks in the cheap seats, you didn't hear me. Ain't no way God can leave point A and go to point B. Before he decides to leave point A, he's already in point B. In him we live and move and have our being. He fills from everlasting to everlasting. Thou art God. The heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain God. How are you going to have God move? Where's he going to go? What we're really saying is we need God to manifest himself because he's already there. We want God to shake a table, rattle a window, kick over a table, knock on a chair. We want our goosebump machine to go, hey, hickamaho, hoo, ha. That's we want to feel, hey, whoo. And you say, God just moved. No, God didn't move nowhere. He's stationary. When you feel everything, you got no place to go. What you do is you manifest what's already there. Let me try it again. Acts 17. In him we live and move and have our being. God is not geographic. There's no way for God to manifest himself over here and create a void over there. He can't leave there. All he does is, you know what he's doing? He's looking for a praiser. He's looking for somebody who released their faith. He's looking for somebody who says, land here, Jesus. I believe you. I may have just a little bit of faith, but I'm hungry. Would you manifest yourself? You be seated. I don't mean to wake everybody up at one time here. You got to understand some stuff. There's more to you than the devil's telling you. You shouldn't be listening to that dirtbag anyway. He couldn't tell the truth standing on the Bible looking at Jesus. And the reason why he hops your case about being noisy or demonstrative or what everybody else is going to say is you got to understand the dirtbag is a former employee who got fired for non-performance. He used to be a praiser. He used to be a worshiper. But he started worshiping himself. And God said, I'll never let nothing get close to me that won't worship me. If you're going to worship yourself, you're out of here, bub. I got a crazy spirit on me right now. Turn to someone next to you and say, are you a worshiper? If not, you're excused. You can leave. You made the biggest mistake of your life tonight. You sat down next to somebody who's desperate. He'll dance all over your pocketbook. He'll knock your wig off. You better watch out, honey. If you're sitting next to a worshiper will get excited. A worshiper will get desperate. A worshiper wants God to show up. He doesn't give a flip about anybody's opinion. I'm in trouble, and I need God to show his stuff. And we got to wait a minute. We got to have a little praise. I vaguely remember a song. When I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that he's done for me, I can't sit down and I can't keep quiet. When I Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You want a word from God? Just start blessing God. Because God ain't going to talk where he ain't allowed to move. You didn't sit down, huh? I didn't mean to mess your theology up so bad one night. I'm going to tell you something. If God ain't allowed to move on you or move in you, whatever gave you the demented thought that he's going to speak to you? Why would God talk to something he ain't allowed to mess with? I mean, how fantastic is your hairspray and your hairdo that you can't boogaloo and just shake it down a little bit? You could be in a whorehouse somewhere. You could be a drunk somewhere. You could be in jail somewhere. Hello, 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 hello. If it wasn't for the grace of God, ain't a one of us would be here. But God, who is rich in mercy, reached out and grabbed a hold of us. And I think he wants to shake the Pentecostal movement. Oh, you can be seated. I don't want to be misread, misunderstood. I'm not talking about emotion. I'm not talking about hype. I'm not talking about just kind of responding because everybody around you is doing it. What would you do if you knew God was slipping on your pew in the next 16 seconds? Something tells me God is on the move. He's trying to manifest himself to somebody who'll make a little bit of noise. I'll tell you what, you can get God's attention just by saying, I'm not worthy, but I need you. I'm not as good as I ought to be, but I need you. I'm not holy and righteous like I want to be. I'm not full of faith, but I need you, Lord. Well, come to think of it, I think we ought to have more excitement and more praise and more antics and more gymnastics for Jesus during preaching than we ever do during music and singing. Well, you be seated. I just try to help you for a little bit. Say, God is a speaking God. When he wants anything done, he talks. He don't sit on the pew like us Pentecostals. Some kind of spiritual shake. Say, I'm a word man. Yeah, right. You won't get a word till you have a move. But I'm into deep things of God. Some of you cats are so deep you're stuck. I know the baloney. I preach for a living. I look stupid, but I'm not stupid. I preach for a living. I know this whole movement. And yet not emotional, brother. Our lion dog. Did you call me a lion? Yes, I called you a lion dog, and that's an insult on a dog. What do you mean you're not emotional? I guarantee if somebody called you tonight, you just won $65 million in the Florida lottery, you wouldn't be sitting there saying, well, praise the Lord. Well, hallelujah. I think you'd be going, whoo, hey, look out, hey, watch out, hey. You know what? You've won something more than $65 million. You want eternal life. You got a trip to the New Jerusalem. You're never going to die. You're going to reign with him forever. My God, it's time to get excited. Now, I'm not going to preach right now till some of these folks get this out of their system. If I had as much hell going on in my life as some of you got going on in yours, I'd dance around till heaven showed up too. In fact, that dancing and boogalooing is a good antidote for your pride. Anybody can clap their hands. Anybody can lift their hands.
hands, but to get all that tonnage over your ankles to move it, that's going to kill your fat. Oh, it's going to kill your pride. If the devil lost his position because he stopped praising and worship, don't be fooled by Pentecostal theology that tells you you can't lose yours.
Just manifesting itself. Oh, glory. You be seated for another minute. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. Here it is. It's a wave! Wow! It is the will of God that we get beside ourselves and get out of ourselves! Oh, glory. You can be seated just another minute here. Oh, glory. Oh, glory. I can't help it. It's just here. Something tells me God wants to throw his weight around right now. God wants to make bare his mighty arm right now. He only used his fingers to make the heavens, but he makes bare his mighty arm to save souls. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Let the well spring up in us. Oh, Jesus. God, deliver us from Pentecostal hairdos and dress codes and ideologies of craziness. Jesus, help us. Now, don't read into what I just said that I'm against dress codes. No, I'm for morality and I'm for modesty. But I'm going to tell you something. We can get so dolled up that we're duds. Don't you remember when you first got the Holy Ghost? You were singing, slinging, snotting, boo-hooing, and crying, and carrying on, stinking up your clothes, acting like a crazy man? Where did we get all this prim and proper jazz once we got saved? We got all of a sudden got into the theater. How would you want a sinner to be excited about what you're not excited about? Why would you want someone to have what you think is a disease? I thought it was the joy of the Lord that was our strength. If you got some joy, why don't you tell your face? Okay, everybody's awake now. You'll be seated for just a minute. Just trying to help you with your vision. I came into this conference praying, and thank God for all these sweet people who've been praying for me, asking God to somehow help me to lift your vision as well as my vision. That's all we need. We don't need a new message. We need new vision. Now, let me explain to you the mystery of the seeing eye dog. This is really spiritual. They tell me that when they train a seeing eye dog, the biggest battle they have to do is to get the dog to lift its vision to where the master's eyesight would be. We'll just let that simmer a minute. You see, the dog can see real good here. But in his master's eyes, his master sees way up there. So they've got to train the dog to lift its vision to what the master would see. This camp meeting is designed for us to lift our vision to see what the master sees. And that won't happen in 15 minutes. It's going to be service after service, service after service, service after service, until finally we're trained enough to lift our eyes and see as he sees. You can be seated just a minute. I'm not trying to be rude or unkind. Just trying to help us. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers. Boy, God does pretty good stuff with just fingers. Galaxies, solar systems, Milky Way, constellations. Just fingers. Just my fingers. You got to get this down. You got to tell yourself, irregardless of your spiritual condition, you are somebody. Because you can never have good God image if you have bad self image. You'll never, never, never love your neighbor if you don't love yourself. Because you're supposed to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And if you feel cruddy about yourself, you never try to help your neighbor. Take it from somebody who lived under condemnation for years because of Pentecostal imperfection drilled into me that my performance was never enough to get me accepted. This thing is not about my performance. It's predicated on his performance. He has made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in Jesus Christ. When we repent, we're water baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. He accepts us, warts and all. I shouldn't have to qualify everything I say around here. You got to hear what I'm telling you. According to 2 and 7 of Genesis, it says, and God formed man from the dust of the earth. Now get this. Tell yourself, you know, I'm almost nothing. Didn't say you're dirt. Said you're dust. Dust is next to nothing. That'll keep you from being proud, arrogant, and stupid. Just kind of look at the guy next to you and say, you're next to nothing. He said, I don't mean to insult you, ma'am. You're not nothing. You're just next to nothing. The only thing less than you is Lucifer. He's a former employee that got fired. Don't ever let that get out of your brain. When that dirtbag starts to challenge you and tell you all the terrible stuff, you just say, yeah, but you got fired. And I'm your replacement. God has allowed the human race to take the place of Lucifer in the praise and worship department. I don't know. You please see. I don't know what time I started, but I'll try to get where I need to go. Now you got to get this now. If all you were dust, I'd be drunk too. I'd be suicidal too. I'd spend my life trying to make money and buy trinkets and toys and hoard up a bunch of stuff if all I was dust. But you got to read the whole scripture. It said he formed man from the dust of the earth. Watch this. And then breathed into him the breath of life. And now that which was next to nothing now became next to God.
so that the container would keep him humble, but the Spirit would cause him to go high. You are made in the image of God. The image of God is spiritual holiness and righteousness. It's the light. You're made like God. That's why hell hates you. Because you're like God. You are God's child. Hell's never been God's child. He's only been a servant. You're on a higher plateau. You were made in the image of God. Don't worry about the container. Feed the contents, because the contents will help the container.
You can be seated. Scripture says, when I consider the heavens, the works of thy fingers, sun, the moon, and stars. Here it is. Now I want you to get this. What is man? I wish I had 3 hours. I'll tell you what he is. What is man? Pile of dust and bones and tissue and sinew, and some blood vessels and a little bit of oxygen. And one more thing. He's God's stuff. you're not hearing me. He's God's stuff. Come on, just say it. I'm God's stuff. Said he made me out of almost the lowest common denominator so he could show Lucifer and all the rest of the fallen angels he could take stuff that was next to nothing and replace him. Man is God's stuff. Man is the clay that the potter uses to design a perfect vessel.
You can sit down. I'm almost there. Man is a divine creation. I'm trying to get you to understand something. Lift your vision. You are not the offspring of slime. You are not an ex-lizard. You're not some puke that rolled up on the beach somewhere and Umgawa all of a sudden became something without flippers. You know why evolution is preached so much by the so-called collegiate intellectuals? Because evolution gets rid of God and man's responsibility to answer for his actions. If you're evolved, then you're a God yourself. But if you've been created, then you have a responsibility for your actions. And you're going to give an answer how you live. But further than that, you have a divine royal destiny. That which made you never dies. And you won't ever die either.
Bear with me just a few minutes. You are what the scripture calls in Acts 17, God's offspring. Turn to someone next to you and say, I'm the king's kid. Say, I'm not much, but I am related. That didn't do for you, but it did for me. See, I got no political connections. I don't hardly have no money in the bank. I got no kin folks to bail me even out of jail. But I have a daddy who rules the universe. And I am related to God by my creation. And I'm related to God by my recreation through the regeneration of the new birth. You got to tell yourself, I'm somebody by God's definition.
If you believe what I just said, you and I'd be absolute fools to waste our lives smoking, drinking, honky-tonking, acting like a fool. If we are king's kids, if we are a royal heritage, if we have divine destiny pulsating in our souls, why would I waste my life being some immoral sleazebag? I'm the house of God. I'm the temple of the Lord. You know what 1 Corinthians 3 calls it? Said, no, you're not, that you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. That word is veos. You know what veos means? You are the holy of holies. You're the special sanctuary where God comes in and does business. No wonder hell's on your trail.
No wonder life's trying to strangle you and kill you. You're the highest thing on the planet. Can I have a few more minutes, Rev? You can be seated. Doing my best not to turn around. You ready? Here, what is man? Here's what he is. He is the custodian of God's joy. Ever wondered where God gets joy? Angels don't give God joy. Creation doesn't give God joy. Little old human beings with all their frailties and problems and failures, when they confess and they repent and they try to walk before God humbly and upright, God gets joy just like you get joy out of your kids trying to learn how to walk and how to talk and how to conquer a tricycle or a bicycle. God gets a big kick out of you trying. Woo. Can I have just a few more minutes? Just a few more minutes and I'll be there in a second. I got some more for you. What is man? I'll tell you what man is. Hey, Sister Spears, you know what man is? Man is the reason for the creation of planet Earth. According to Genesis 1, 14 through 19, the earth is the reason for the heavens. Now let me mess with your little Acts 2:38 theology. Let's go a little further now. Ready? Don't look at each other and say, do we believe this? Yes, we believe this. According to Genesis 1, 14 through 19, God said that he created the sun, the moon, and the stars, watch, to affect and give light upon the earth and to cause seasons and time. So the only reason God created the entire galaxy was so it could affect the earth. Now you got to get this, because friend, we're fixing a boogaloo here in a second. If earth is the reason for heaven, then what is the reason for earth? Here it is. A home for God's boy. It ain't a zoo for all the possums and the caterpillars and the catfish. No, no. When God got ready to put a house together, he stocked the shelves for years and years and years with gold and silver and iron ore and precious jewels and diamonds and everything that's in here. But he did it because his kid needed a house. $64,000 question. Well, if earth is the reason for heaven and man is the reason for earth, what's the reason for man? Hear me. For God's pleasure only. Revelation 4 and 11 says, for all things were created by you and for your pleasure. God doesn't have any needs. He didn't need to create anything. He did it out of his sovereign choice because he wanted to share himself with you. A few more minutes and I'll stop. Don't you get it? You know what you are? Come on, get it in your spirit right now. You know what I am, folks? I don't look like much, but I'm dust and deity. Oh yeah, I'm dust and deity. Don't let my little fat dust fool you. I'm fat full of deity also. I got deity in me. God breathed into me and I became a living soul. That's what we need right now. We need the breath of the Almighty. What did Job say in 33 of Job? The breath of the Almighty hath made me and the Spirit of God hath created me. You're not ex-slime. You have divine signature on your soul. You are more than matter. Sister, your spirit Because you're made in the image of God, who is spirit. Oh, I lost you. You're made like your dad. You're not a body that has a soul and has a spirit. No. You are a spirit that's revealed through your soul that lives in a body. You are a three-part being. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. God may present your spirit, soul, and body perfect at the coming of the Lord. You are not a trinity, neither is your dad. But you are soul, spirit, and body. But you are one person. And he is Father in creation and Son in redemption and Holy Ghost in regeneration. But he is not trinity. He's not even triune. He's one God manifested in various offices. Has anybody in Louisiana ever read Acts 2? Citizen answer, have you ever really read it? When it turns around and says that he told the disciples to tarry in Jerusalem. And then when they got the Holy Ghost, you know what it says? This is what it says. They received the Holy Ghost. Watch this. Which was the promise of the Father. I've read that for 25 years and I said, right, the promise of the Father. The Father had promised the Holy Ghost to these guys. The Father had promised the Holy Ghost. Tarry in Jerusalem till you be due the power of my heart. John baptized with water and repentance, but you should be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days since. You have heard the promise of the Father. It wasn't till his last year that finally the light went on. And God helped me to see it in a grander way. It's not just the Holy Ghost is the promise of the Father. The Holy Ghost is the promise of the Father. The Holy Ghost is the Father in you. Said is the Holy Ghost is the promise of the Father. What does that mean? The Father just moved into the house that he bought at Calvary. He buys you with blood, but he births you with the Holy Ghost. That's why any church that says you can get born again at Calvary is Looney Tunes. You can't get born again by blood. Blood doesn't birth. Blood buys. So, listen now a second. I'm way out here now. Look. The Bible says in Leviticus 17:11, God gave him the blood upon the mercy seat to make what? Atonement, hyphenate, at-one-ment with God. So the blood atones, watch, for your soul. But you got spirit and body. Now what you going to do? It atones for your soul. Well, what do you got for your spirit? Holy Ghost. Well, what do you got for your body? Rapture. Don't you get it? Jesus bought us at Calvary. Have you never read Acts 20:28, where God bought the church with his own blood? But God doesn't have blood. God is spirit. And when Jesus showed up after the resurrection and floated through the walls, he said, handle me. He didn't say I'm flesh and blood. He said I'm flesh and bone. Where was his blood? He just bought a church on Calvary with it. The blood buys the church. But the Spirit adopts you. That's why the Bible says, given to us the Spirit of adoption. And what happens when you get adopted? You open your mouth and you cry, Abba, Father. Don't buy into this silent salvation. It doesn't exist. I don't know what time I started, but I need another about 5 or 10 minutes, okay? Just 5 or 10 minutes. I want to mess with you so bad. God, have mercy. What is man? Here it is. You ready? I'm on target over here, the glue to the seat crew right here. You ready? Super glued your drawers to that wood. We're gonna get you moving right in a couple of seconds here. It says, what is man? Here it is. That thou art mindful of him. All my life I've read that scripture and I thought, mindful. Well, God takes notice of me. God God thinks about me. You know how people send you a note, was thinking of you. Wait a minute. Whoa. Watch this. Let's read it the way it's really written. What is man that your mind is full of him? I didn't think I'd get much. You know what I just told you? You ain't in this alone. When you got up this morning, you were on his mind. Every plot of the devil, every plot of the enemy, it's already known to him because you're on his mind. His mind is full of you. He thinks about you. He cares for you. He provides for you. You are in his mind. He can't get you out of his brain. If his mind is full of us, why would we let the devil lie to us and say that we're going to be lost, or God's going to give up us when we have a bad day, or we fall into sin and we make a mistake? That devil is a liar. If we'll confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Please sit down. Just trying to close here. You got to get it though, because maybe it didn't do. Maybe you've got a great brain. I got a little brain. That see, that really helps us little punks. To think that this morning, when I got up with my aching hip and my bad leg, and worrying about what I was going to do and take this flight and all, God, because he don't go to bed. So while I had sleep, he had me on his mind during the night, waiting for me to wake up so he could fulfill what was already in his mind that he got planned for me. If I'm in God's mind, you think it's possible for God to be surprised by the devil or your mistakes? Not hardly. I wish we could get a revelation of what God's got planned for us. There's some place God's trying to take the Pentecostal movement. David screamed out and said that he thinks about me. I'm on God's mind. He said, I'm poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh on me. Didn't say I was spiritual and tongue talker. He said I was poor and needy, and the Lord thinks on me. 139:17 of Psalms says, how precious are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I were to add them, they are greater than the sands of the sea. I'm going through a bunch of hell and heartache and problems and crisis and pain. Don't you ever let the devil lie you into a corner and say, you're in this alone. No. Whatever you're in, you're already in God's cranial cavity. He's already got you. Oh, he's got you. Don't you get it? You were on his mind when he went to Calvary. You were on his mind when he ascended. You're on his mind right now. He ain't not gonna let nothing happen to you bad. He's gonna keep you. Oh, I don't know whether you're getting it. Considering how glorious and how powerful, how majestic and how awesome and how all-wise and all-knowing that he created everything, that he set up galaxies and planets and earth seasons and regulates the animal kingdom, whose ways are past finding out, who dwells in a light which no man can approach. He thinks about Jeffy. Day doesn't go by that he doesn't think about old JW. How can I help him? How can I bless him? How can I bring him to a higher level in me? How can I separate him and wean him off such immature stuff and get him to a level so I could just embrace him with stuff that I want to show him? What is God thinking about us tonight for this conference this whole week? What is on God's mind that he wants to do? I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. He's thinking about you. Turn to someone right now, look at him, say, God thinks about me. Watch out how you talk about me. Don't be damning me and criticizing me. Don't try to cut my legs off. Don't find fault with me because God's thinking about me. I said, God's mind is on me. I don't want to be unkind, but I do want to be honest. I'm not in the president's thoughts. They ain't his fault. He's just got a big job and his brain ain't big enough to include me. I'm not in any of the politician's thoughts. I'm not in the mayor's thoughts. I'm not in the governor's thoughts. You're not hearing me. I hate to disillusion you. You probably ain't even in your neighbor's thoughts. And I sure ain't into my relative's thoughts. But I got through this day today because there's one up in heaven that I'm in his thoughts. And he's thinking about me, thinking about how he can bless me, how he can help me, how he can expand my faith and take me to a level that's higher and greater than anything I've ever known. What is man that thou art mindful of him? I'm closing right now for the last time. You can be seated. I have a picture of Albert Einstein on my desk. He's a weird looking dude. He was a one God Jew. Let me tell you something. You know why? This is just my theory, but I got the mic, so it'll work. You know why I think Einstein discovered all that jazz he discovered? Besides being a one God Jew? Because his heart's cry was after Yahweh. His heart's cry was, I want to know the thoughts of God. Everything else in life is purely incidental. And in his journey to find the thoughts of God, God so honored that honorable quest that he let this man find brilliant discoveries along the way. Wonder what the Pentecostal movement could discover if we wanted the thoughts of God. Never mind the gifts. Never mind the feelings. The thoughts of God. That we could learn his ways. What could we discover spiritually along the way if we were after his thoughts? Einstein said, I want to know the thoughts of God. I wish I could have met Mr. Einstein because I could have helped him. I could have pointed him to Jesus of Nazareth and said, behold the thoughts of God. You didn't hear me. See, you don't get it. Do you know what words are? Words are thoughts manifested. Yeah. Words are thoughts on parade. When God got ready to show the world his thoughts, he did it this way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, not them. Them didn't come till 325 AD. It was just in the beginning. Him. And in him was light. And the life was the light of men. Now, please get this. The life was the light of men. The life of God was the God consciousness in men. He had spiritual understanding because he had spiritual light. When man sinned, the light went out. He walks in darkness. And when you don't have any spiritual light, you birth idolatry. Hosea 13 and 2. They make idols according to their own understanding. Ephesians 4, 17 and 18. Like other Gentiles, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. When you become darkened, you start worshiping your own imagery. That's why the unregenerate world worships sex and money and politics and fame and position and trinkets and toys. It's not because they're wicked, evil men. It's because they're in darkness. But the light has come. Jesus is the light of the world. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness can't put it out. I'm trying to close here. I didn't get to my sermon. It was a good one. Brother Tenney?
Here's my problem. He loveth me.
See, you got to get that.
See, he's mindful of me. And in spite of all my craziness and all my hang-ups, he can't help himself. He just loves me.
And guess what? Sometimes I'm an embarrassment to him. You know, the Bible talks, I'm going to look at you one time only. The Bible talks about being unequally yoked. You ready for this? God is unequally yoked with us. And it doesn't bother him a bit. You didn't hear what I just said. We are unequally yoked with God. We are no match for him. But he takes us in the yoke and says, come on, boy, walk with me anyway, and I'll teach you the high ways and the holy ways and the glorious ways and the heavenly ways and the spiritual ways. I may be an embarrassment to him, but he loves me so much he won't stop walking with me.
I gotta. You ready, Brother Anthony? You ready, Brother Anthony? Psalms 90, verses 1 and 2. I'll butcher this whole thing and shut her down, okay?
Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations.
You get what he just said? Now watch what happened. You came out of God. And the purpose of salvation is to get you back to where you started.
Oh, you didn't hear me.
You were in God before time was and before matter was. You got to understand, everything that happens in time was already predetermined and already proclaimed and already declared pre-time. Ephesians 1 says, he purposeth all things in himself. Watch. And has chosen us in him, comma, before the foundation of the world. I was already in God before I got here. That's why the writer of the book of Job says that a woman is the doors of life. The only way you're allowed to legally be on this planet is to come through the womb of a woman. She is the doors of life. That's why the devil's an alien and an intruder. That's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin. He couldn't just step down here and do something legal. He had to legally be born through the doors of life. So now he had right to judicially save us.
You're not hearing me yet. Why do you think you got to be born again? Why do you think God's the Father and the church is the mother? And you're born by the breath of the Spirit in the womb of the church. And now you're legal. All this craziness where you're supposed to get the Spirit somewhere else and you're never subject to a church, I don't buy into it. Just bear with me a second. I'll try to close again. Read for me, Brother Anthony.
Before the mountains were brought forth.
Yeah.
Or ever thou hadst formed the earth.
Before you made matter, I was yours. You ever wonder, Brother Tenney, when Peter says in 1 Peter 2 and 25, but now are ye returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. 25 years I've read that, never understood it. How could you return? I was never there. God says, oh yes, you were. You were in me before I made matter in time. Everything flows out of me. And your parade through time is what caused you to trespass. That's why I had to leave eternity and step down into time to turn the tragedy into a triumph so I could take back out of time what was mine before time.
You can stand with me. I can't go any further. I'll never get this done. We'll put a pause on it. He said, don't you get it? God lost us. We were God's before time.
And when we were born into time and the clock started, when we came out of the womb of the woman, the doors of life, then the clock started and time became our enemy. And God lost the human race in time. So God left the timeless place and stepped into time to buy back what he had lost in time.
Right.
Watch. So that they could go back and live in timelessness. Now, I'm the world's worst evangelist. I don't know why they've asked me to preach this camp. I have no scary stories. I'm the world's lousiest altar giver. I don't know how to give a good altar call. I can't go ooga booga 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 scare you and all that. I'll just preach an hour and 15 minutes, my guts out. There's enough truth floating around this auditorium to heal you and save you and deliver you and change your mindset. Here's what I want us to do. I want us to lift our hands and our voices, and I want us to bless God for the preaching of the Word of God. And take it into your spirit and begin to thank God for the fact that God is mindful of you. His mind is full of you. It doesn't matter that you've got failure and shortcoming and mistake. Your failures are not final. The situation is not over. The last chapter has not been written. You are not just matter. You are not flesh and bone. You are not just blood. You are spirit. Come on, we ain't got room around the altar for everybody to pray, but who needs the Holy Ghost? Who needs to be forgiven? Who needs a fresh commitment? Who needs fresh faith burning in you? It ought to be easy with an atmosphere charged as much truth that's in this house to believe God, being that God's mind is full of you. I guess you'll have to sing. I'm not a good altar giver. I just preach. I don't. You need to meditate on it. He that made the galaxies. He that spoke the worlds into existence. His mind is full of you. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Sing for us, Sister Vicky.
Our God is an awesome God.
See, I'm trying to get you a God awareness. I'm trying to lift your vision higher. Come on, go past Acts 2:38 tonight. Come on, go. He loves you. He's interested in you. He wants to fix what's wrong. He wants to help you. He's not the enemy. He's your friend.